From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, POET has the go-ahead and a governmental loan to build a cellulosic ethanol plant. Morgan Stanley has cut its price forecast for agricultural commodities, and the U.S. Grains Council believes the Chinese will be forced to purchase more corn on the open market this year. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Farmers and ranchers, you should know, will be taking care this season because, well, they've got the world's most dangerous job. We'll talk about that. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Here's the way the settlement prices came in from the CME Group today. Nearby December wheat at $6.48 and a quarter, up 7 and a half. March at $6.83 and a quarter, up 8 cents. And May soft red at $6.99 and a half, up 6 and three quarters. July at $7.04 and a quarter for next year. On the new crop, 6 and a quarter higher. Hard red in Kansas City finished the nearby, or rather the July at $7.65, up 10 and three quarters. December corn futures at $6.48, up 9 and a half cents. March at $6.61 and a quarter, up 9 and a half, or rather 9 and a quarter. And the May futures in the corn pit at $6.68 and three quarters, 9 and a quarter higher. July at $6.72 and three quarters, up 9 and a quarter. September 9 cents higher at $6.17 and a half. And December corn of next year, $5.89 and a half, up 11 cents. November soybeans for the day, $12.59 and three quarters, up 1 and three quarters. January 12.71 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter. The March at 12.78, a penny and a half higher. May beans at 12.82 and three quarters, up a half, and July at 12.90 and a quarter, up a quarter. Next year's November at 12.51 and a quarter, down 2 cents for the day. The Mercantile Exchange settled the October live cattle at 119.72 and a half, the September feeders at 132.90, up 80, and the October lean hogs at $88.50, down 30 cents on this Monday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, 72 cents higher at $80.56 a barrel. Ethanol at 254 and 9 tenths, up 2 and 9 tenths. Natural gas at 378 and 4 tenths, up 8 and 3 tenths. And heating oil or diesel fuel, 3 tenths of a cent higher at $2.79 and 8 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $1,592.50 an ounce, down $45 today. The Dow just about 168 points higher at 10,939. The dollar at 78.35, down 0.14. And the CRB index at 303.10, that's up 1.2. The S&P at 1147.75, up 11.3 on the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area looks like this as it comes from the National Weather Service this afternoon. Scattered showers, cloudy. A high near 63 degrees, southwest winds at about 16 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 23. Chance of precip set at 50% for the afternoon. Tonight, tomorrow, showers are likely at 50%, mostly cloudy. A high near 60 degrees, west-southwest winds at about 7 to 10 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 15 miles an hour. Then on Tuesday night, a chance of showers set at 30%, mostly cloudy, a low of 48. West-northwest winds at about 5 miles an hour. On Wednesday night, partly sunny, a high near 69. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 53. Thursday, sunny and 78. Thursday night, cloudy and 52. On Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 66 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 43. When we get to the Saturday weekend schedule, sunny skies, a high of 64 degrees. Sunday, Saturday night, mostly clear and a low of 42. And on Sunday, it should be sunny with a high of 66 degrees. More on the ag weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Monday afternoon, time to check the futures markets and a bit of analysis. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities is with us. Thanks, Kurt, for taking the time. Tell me about the marketplace for the day.
Well, a little sigh of relief. Try to be optimistic most of the time, and watching last week's and dealing with last week's price action, kind of frustrating. But today, at least going home on a positive note, hopefully we will not have too big of a turnaround Tuesday here in the grains. But corn, beans, even wheat, we're able to record a hook reversal to the upside on the technical charts. We reached oversold status, reached some time windows in here where we're due for a little trend reversal, change of season, even cycle counts and Fibonacci counts and so forth. GAN and so forth all indicate that maybe we're in a position here to try to recoup a little bit. So technically encouraging, fundamentally a little encouraging. Talk of additional Chinese interest in corn, even U.S. corn. I don't know if we'll see any sales be announced, but commercials continue to talk about world corn trade starting to show some interest there. World bean trade's been extremely slow, but there's ideas that there was a sale here to Asia that could be announced tomorrow morning. And fundamentally in the wheat futures, renewed dry concerns, not only here in the U.S., but some various other countries in the world here gave the market some enthusiasm to be covering some shorts and putting a little bit of a long position in wheat there, Todd.
There'll be some fresh fundamental news by the end of the week. The grain stocks reports will be out. And then in October, we'll have an update of supply and what the crop production report looks like. Well, that comes on the 12th. I think the grain stocks report is due out Friday on the 30th. What do you think those two reports will show?
Well, the grain stocks, it's kind of hard for me particularly to see a larger number. I know a lot of trades lean towards a larger number due to slowdown in export demand. But when you visit all around here in the central belt and you on the east, a lot of these elevators and grain bins were empty. So it would be interesting to see the breakdown, see where this inventory's at here in the U.S. I'm sure it's going to be in the West, but for the most part, I have a feeling that they're a little high on ending stocks. We'll see. It's whatever they come up with, that's what we're going to go with, because they've got the numbers to work with. As far as production, as we move in October, right now I think you got to go with maybe a little higher yield estimate. We're seeing a situation where every producer thought they had 100 bushel corn, and they actually got out into it and see it as better than in some areas. There is quite a few areas that's, 100 or less, and that's devastating, and that's going to bring the average down. But there are guys in some 180 to 220 bushel corn throughout Illinois and Iowa that's going to help bring the average back up. So I think the trade's probably going to be looking at a little bit of higher yield estimate as we go into that October report. And of course, though, even though it's a higher yield estimate, maybe a little bit more production, the key is still balancing the demand side of the equation. And we feel the bottom line is that the ending stock is still going to be relatively tight for this 2011 crop type.
And you think part of that equation, and it will be total production, of course, and even if there is a higher yield, do you suppose there will be fewer acres that come out and they'll offset one another?
Very good point. Good observation. We've been talking about lower harvest. Well, we started talking about lower planted acres last spring, and then we started talking about harvested acres being lower here. And this is going to be the report. Hopefully, we'll see a little bit of insight on where we're at. But that's probably going to be the most watched number than anything, to see where we are on harvested acres, yes.
Mm-hmm. Soybeans are more than $2 off of their top end of the November contract. Will they bounce?
We'll have some type of bounce. I was wanting to say a dead cat bounce, but some people don't like that saying, and mm-hmm. I can understand that. But, we're approaching the longer-term support levels towards the $12 area. With this pullback in here, it's put beans cheaper here on the world market. We continue to believe that Asia needs to continue to book beans for demand here, even though they were backed up. Those ports are starting to clear out, and so it's, I think it's a matter of time in here. Especially, I think tomorrow we'll see a small sale, but I think we'll see some larger sales as we move more into the month of October.
And do you suppose that the wheat might be able to lead the marketplace higher? It's up again today. There was an awful lot of talk over the weekend that wheat supplies, and last week too, that wheat supplies in some of the major northern growing regions could be in jeopardy, although they're just now beginning to sow those because of dry weather in the southwestern and western parts of the United States and in Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah, we've getting to a point now where we're going to go back to weather, especially here, as you mentioned, here in the U.S. and even in Russia, Ukraine. The significance of the Russia, Ukraine wheat, especially in that region there, they've been a major competitor here. They put a lot of wheat in the world market. If they start to show a shortfall of production prospects here as we go through the winter here, they might be inclined to be a less aggressive exporter. Therefore, it will open up the market to some of these other countries in the world. But not only here in the U.S., but we'll continue to monitor wheat production prospects in China, Canada, and especially, you know, Australia.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Oh, it continues to be a dynamic market here. We got a lot of news in front of us yet, so recommend everybody sort of stay tuned here because you guys do a good job of bringing out the information to the public, Doc.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate you do too.
Thanks.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. This is willag.org. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, posted not long after it airs on our radio stations. Speaking of which, if you're wondering, we're still operating at 1,000 watts, and that gets us out quite a long ways. We generally operate on the local home station, which is WILL, at about 5,000 watts. Eventually, we think we'll disappear. That hasn't happened yet. It disappeared at least for most of our listeners in the 138 counties that we cover in Illinois and Indiana. But if you are a county that's close by, we'll probably get to you over the next several days. We're still not quite certain when that will happen, and they'll begin retrenching those guy wires. I know we've been telling you about it for a while. But we're positive that that will take place. It's just a matter of waiting on that company to get it started. Anyway, Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the Ag News for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, private U.S. ethanol maker Poet says the Department of Energy has finalized approval for $105 million in loan aid for building a cellulosic ethanol plant to make fuel from corn waste. Poet, the biggest ethanol producer in the world, said the loan aid would allow it to construct Project Liberty, a 25 million gallon per year cellulosic plant in Iowa. Cellulosic ethanol backers hope to make commercial quantities of motor fuel distilled from crop waste and non-food crops like switchgrass. Currently, the fuel is too expensive to compete with traditional motor fuels without incentives. Morgan Stanley today says that growing concerns of economic recession present a key downside risk to agricultural commodity prices, and it cut its 2011-12 wheat and soybean price forecasts. Morgan Stanley now expects 2011-12 soybean prices at $14.25 a bushel, from $14.50 a bushel a year earlier, and wheat prices at $7.50 a bushel from $8.25 a bushel earlier. The brokerage also cut its 2012-13 wheat price forecast to $7 a bushel from $8, but kept its soybean price forecast for the same period. Officials in Europe are considering ways to introduce more conservation requirements before farmers there are eligible for full support under the European Union's Common Agricultural Program. But the head of a European farm organization is concerned that the EU may be headed toward a one-size-fits-all approach to conservation, adding the European Commission's plans to take a more uniform approach to conservation across Europe would threaten to cut EU competitiveness and add bureaucracy for farmers. Domestic and global grain organizations are citing increasing pressure on China's corn inventories and a widening production shortfall as evidence of potentially sharper higher corn imports in the coming years, despite Beijing's self-sufficiency goals. China turned net corn importer last year for the first time in 15 years amid soaring demand for meat and eggs. In a research note on Friday, the U.S. Grains Council estimated China could absorb 8 million tons of corn imports even at the government's current self-sufficiency rate of 95%. The council projected that China could allow for as much as 16 million tons of corn imports if it lowers its self-sufficiency rate to 90%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Tuck Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you have a mobile phone, try this, m.willag.org. That's our mobile website, m.willag.org. Or just on a regular phone, dial 217-333-3434. We update the voicemail there at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day. Now, up next, you know, farmers have the most dangerous job in the nation. Farming is dangerous. Nationwide, somewhere between 500 and 800 people die in farm-related accidents each year. That fact, along with the 80,000 disabling injuries the National Farm Safety Council usually tallies, makes agriculture one of the most dangerous industries in the nation. Those numbers always worry farm safety specialists, especially during the harvest season. That's when farmers and farm workers are pushed and consequently tired. It is also when fatal mistakes happen, says University of Illinois Extension specialist Bob Aharon.
That they get out and start pushing themselves very hard, maybe working 10, 12, 14 or more hours a day, getting less than 6 hours or so sleep a night, and not taking very many breaks. And what that does, it physically fatigues us. And when we become physically fatigued, it causes mental fatigue. It can lead us to making mistakes we normally wouldn't do if we were well-rested and had taken a break every 2 to 3 hours. And it's important to do that sort of thing because if you're not mentally alert with the kind of things we deal with around farms, the kind of machines that are fast-moving, powered by very powerful engines, that if we get caught in them or something, it's going to be relentless, usually results in pretty serious injuries and many times death.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics accidental death rate for farmers and farm workers is usually somewhere between 20 or 30 deaths per every 100,000. The injury rate is a lot higher. For instance, in the middle of the last decade, it was 6 in 100. Scientific research shows the best way to avoid becoming one of the statistics is to get a good night's rest, 6 to 8 hours of sleep.
If you get less than that, you open yourself to higher risk of making mental mistakes that can result in injuries.
Or death. The point is simple. When the crop matures, those bringing in the harvest need to stop every couple of hours and take a 15-minute break and to get off the tractor or the combine at night and go to bed and go to sleep for 6 to 8 hours. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County is Jenny Springer. Thanks so much, Jenny, for taking the time with us today. Are you busy there?
Oh, we're not too busy today, Todd. I think the rain and the heavy fog this morning has just kind of kept guys out of the fields. We did have a couple of guys say they are going to try and run some corn here this afternoon, but I think it'll be pretty spotty.
It's fast going from what we thought was going to be a quick fall to not such a quick fall home.
That is for sure.
Tell me about basis in your area.
Basis has kind of stayed steady with corn. Bean basis has started to drop off a little bit. I think that's a function of, you know, the weak SIF market that we're seeing. You know, there at the Gulf, things just aren't trading where they normally would during the harvest time frame. I know it's always going to, you know, trade a little bit lower with harvest pressure, but it's quite significantly lower than where it was last year at this time.
Export demand down or just waiting for better times economically or both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we're seeing a little bit decreased demand, you know, right now with South American, you know, that's kind of where the purchases are coming from instead of, you know, coming from the U.S.
Why do you think that's the case?
No, I think it's just a function that happens every year. I mean, we see, you know, them trade back and forth, whether they buy them from here or buy them from there. It's a lot depending on just what the economics are. With our dollar, you know, moving a little bit higher in the last, you know, couple of weeks, just with the downturn in the European economy, I think that's part of it, too.
I would have thought the basis, and I know it's been fairly strong and staying steady, and maybe this is just part and parcel of what's been happening, but with the weather slowing down the harvest of corn or the start of harvest of corn or earlier in the year, I would have thought that potentially that if we were this late really getting started, that might really jump the price locally, and it doesn't seem to have done that.
I think we'll see that happen, Todd. I just don't think we see it, you know, for another couple of months. I think during harvest, it's hard for them to, you know, run the basis higher, you know, for the simple fact that it is harvest and there is, you know, a plethora of bushels coming in. You know, I think, you know, looking out towards bid structure in Jan, Feb, March timeframe, I mean, we're still showing unders right now, but I think the closer we get to that time frame, the higher that basis value is going to be.
You think we'll just have that short of crop?
I think part of it, it's going to kind of be a hand-to-mouth type thing where these processors aren't going to go out and put, you know, good, attractive basis levels out in the deferreds just because they're going to need to keep corn coming in the door now.
Was it good news that commercials were under the bind today in Chicago?
Oh, I think it was a little bit of that and just a little bit of, you know, covering from last week. I mean, we, you know, took off a dollar or more, you know, in the last couple of weeks in corn and beans, and I think it's just part of, you know, kind of some profit taking.
Tell me about the bean market and what you see.
As far as yields?
Yes, please.
I think we're starting to see yields come in. There's not been a lot of beans harvested, but a little bit better than where guys had expected in some areas. But I talked to a producer from over by Peoria today that talked about bean fields a mile apart. One ran 35 and one ran 65. So I think we're just going to see that variability, you know, depending on which mile or which section got rain and which didn't.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, $6.41, and cash beans, $12.33.
Thanks so much, Jenny. Jenny Springer is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll say so long now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe.
It's National Crab Newberg Day. It's also National Food Service Workers' Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Melville Reuben Bissell was born. Bissell invented the carpet sweeper in 1876 to sweep up dust from his wife's crockery shop in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dust from the packings had been affecting his wife's health. In 1846, Peter Culpin was born. A German meteorologist and climatologist, he played a major role in the advancement of both sciences. And the climate classification system he developed remains popular today because it uses easily obtained data. In 1879, the cream separator was patented. Before milk cream separators, cream was separated from milk by letting the milk sit until the cream floated to the top and then could be skimmed off by hand. In 1974, it was first reported that Freon from aerosol cans was destroying the ozone layer above the earth. And in 1985, William Cumming Rose died, an American biochemist. He researched amino acids and established the importance of the 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's gray, cloudy, and looks like we'll have a bit more precipitation over the next couple of days. Give me the forecast locally, please.
Yeah, I can expect kind of more of the same here as what you're seeing today with rain activity, showers, a few embedded thunderstorms across actually much of central and northern Illinois. The culprit for this is a closed upper-level low-pressure system that's going to be around us here for the next several days. So that's why it's a kind of a pattern repeat here over the next several days. It looks like then that closed low system will eject out of the Midwest on Thursday, and that'll be followed by a cooler Canadian high pressure, bringing drier conditions here for the latter portion of this week and even on into the weekend and even actually throughout much of next week as well. So a few more days of unsettled weather before then drier weather moves in.
It's cool today. Looks like it'll be fairly cool tomorrow, and then things will start to heat up. How much below average would these next couple of days be?
Well, right now it looks like temperatures, when you average everything out with a daytime high temperature, nighttime minimum temperature, at about 4 or 5 degrees Fahrenheit cooler than average. So no, not significantly cool. It does look actually colder as we go into the weekend and early next week with that Canadian high pressure, as temperatures then will drop to levels of about 6 to 8 degrees below normal.
It's hard to get growing degree days to pile up late in the season, and it's late in the season. And we're starting to drag just a bit, despite the fact that we caught up really fast in the mid part of the season.
Yeah, certainly September has featured a much different weather here compared to what we saw during the heart of the growing season in June through August. And for any late developing crops, that certainly is an issue here, although that's pretty much now coming to an end here late September. But overall here, you like to finish off here with a warm September, and quite a change here what we've seen this month.
Go to the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the nation. Will they and do they have enough moisture to really make that crop pop up out of the ground, or even to sow it?
Well, for the Southern Plains hard red winter wheat belt, you know, we've seen improvement across areas of Kansas, Nebraska here of late, but Oklahoma, Texas continues to miss out, and that is where the most severe drought conditions persist. And over the next couple of weeks, we just do not see any kind of appreciable precipitation across areas of much of the Southern Plains here. So, yeah, certainly some dryness concerns here, especially for Oklahoma and Texas, which already have depleted soil moisture reserves. And overall here, we're getting kind of close to the final planting window here, the middle portion of October. They're going to need significant rainfall, and at least at this time, no sign of that.
Are we facing the same dilemma in other northern soft red and hard red winter growing regions, for instance, Ukraine, Russia, France?
Yeah, across areas of Eastern Europe and on into Ukraine, that is an area that's turned drier here over the past 4 to 5 weeks. Not as severe as what we're seeing here in the U.S. Southern Plains, but certainly an area to keep an eye on, and no sign of that improving in early October.
Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report for Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.